Hello, innovators, explorers, and risk takers. Welcome to another episode of the Web3 with Sam Kumari podcast. And on today's podcast, I'm interviewing Dr. Ray Wu, who is an AI scientist. He has done a PhD in computer science, and he is building a fascinating startup in the prediction markets called PredX.ai. And today we are going to talk about everything about predictions, about what he has learned after working in prediction market, after building a product pretty much which is quite popular at the moment with DGENS, and how he intends to evolve this product continuously so it is attractive to everyone and not only just DGENS. But before we get any further into this conversation, I would like to say that none of this information should be taken as investment advice. And please share this episode with a friend who is interested in Web3. With that out of the way, let's get into it. So, Ray, welcome to the show. I'm looking forward to talking with you, especially since you're building something in the prediction markets or in the prediction crypto markets. Very hot topic. Would love to learn how PredX works. But before we get all into your prediction software that you're building, would love to learn, how did you get into crypto and blockchain and all this space?
Oh, yeah. Thank you for having me. So I'm Ren, the founder and CEO of PredX.ai. Yeah, in general speaking, actually, I was starting to actually get into the crypto world by the late of 2020. Yeah, so actually, that was a year during the pandemic, and I was actually stuck in Dubai. And during that time, actually, I basically have trying to see if there's any kind of like interesting ideas or investment opportunities and start looking into cryptos. Because before that, actually, the crypto was, honestly speaking, was not that popular in actually for normal people. Actually, I know the crypto concept BTC, actually 2012 or 2011, but during that time it was like really hard to acquire one. So since I was in China, it's really hard to actually to use any old abroad internet. And also during that time, probably they don't have a good exchange to buy the crypto. And then like I didn't pay attention to during my PhD career because we were busy during that time. And then actually suddenly I have some time by 2020 because I was stuck in Dubai and there's like absorbing all the possibilities. Then like I started looking for the cryptos. But actually very beginning, I was actually attracted by the decentralization, the spirit of cryptos, basically the era of creating something together. And yeah, there's no like borders and everything like really guaranteed and programmed by smart contracts as well as like a proof of work, the protocols, all this kind of words. Which I feel is very, super exciting to me. Because previously I was engineers and I never thought about, yeah, we can use a well-designed, this kind of protocol to guarantee the fairness in a decentralized manner. So certainly I've been attracted and then I look into what is Web3, what is the NFT, and what is other important concept. But really into the business was like late 2020. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. And how did you come up with the idea for building a gamified prediction market?
Yeah, so very interesting. So very beginning, I was building a market risk management software and I relocated from San Francisco to New York City.
Yeah.
You know that like actually as a kind of a new startup, and it's a little bit hard to get involved in B2B business because we don't like good connections. So the trust that people can actually well establish for many years, right? It's hard to make the big banks as well as financial institutions really believe in you and really pay more attention to your technology, even if you have the best AI technology. Yeah. So later on, I figured out that is a problem of the positioning in the industry, the supply chain. So in the finance market, right? So we're beginning actually, we're starting from the exchange, this kind of information providers, right? Later on, we show this kind of like the service providers, and finally we have the banks or someone individual kind of payment accounts or this kind of assets management software, right? So this kind of industry chain. So the thing is that like you really need to focus on something like someone can dominate in the industry supply chain instead of provide a service provider. You know, the good thing of OpenAI is that as a technology, service provider, so they are very dominating people's business. They are not like just a providing service, right? So they actually provide a technology that enable people to actually creating something new. So you really need to become enabling company, a platform company, instead of like just provide a service like a consulting company. So that is basically the technical co-founders or the PhD founders, right? So you basically don't want to become a consulting business. You want to create a new technology, yeah. And then if you see the industrial chain, right, grains are more really forward than being in the middle, right? The most forward upstream thing is really about become the exchange. But in the US, you have the NYSE, you have the NASDAQ, you have the CME, right? It's really, really hard for like a new startup become an exchange, highly regulated space.
Yes.
So we actually need to pay attention. Firstly, where is your customer base? Since US is highly regulated, right? So we need to focus on something like offshore or board so that basically it's not highly regulated by the SEC and CFTC. And second thing is that we really need to think about what kind of service you want to provide as an exchange. Right now we have the crypto exchange, we have the stock exchange.
Yes.
Future, right? So what's some amazing pieces there are there? And what kind of things can that people creating from their own perspectives, right? And then we localize the prediction market. So prediction market, we can think of it as a new type of exchange. But the thing of the asset you listed on the exchange is not the traditional asset, right? It's always events and which are associated with the probability. Yeah. And the probability actually tells whether events happening or not. For example, whether Trump will become the president again, there's always a probability. And different events coming out and the probability always changing. So with the probability going, so actually speaking, the people who buy the share of the probability when the bet the Trump becomes president will actually go high, because the probability going high. So who actually buys this probability will go high. So the idea is that how you can make the probability into a kind of like an asset that people can trade. Yeah, so that is the instance of prediction market. So you can define your own asset. You can actually trade on assets and then you can basically earn from the probability. Actually, you really actually best correctly or not. So that is the general idea. So creating this kind of like a new type of exchange that anyone can list in their own event as an asset and let the community trade on the probability of this asset happen or not. So that's for the business we want to get involved with. Yeah. So that is how we actually from something nowhere end up with the prediction market idea. But of course, there's so many other things we can later on discuss the limitation of prediction market, but how we're starting with the prediction idea, that is the story. Yeah.
Yes. Can you build this prediction market in a Web2 environment?
Yes, we can. Yeah, we have a lot of great prediction market out there, like Polymarket, Manifold.
Yeah, like TAB, TAB in some countries, like Australia, UK, New Zealand, they have TAB. I don't know if they have that in US, that's allowed or not. But basically, you can... like on sports betting and stuff. I'm sure sports betting is very big all around the world. And it's pretty much betting on the probability of which person who will score how many goals or runs or whatever it might be, the points. And you can predict who's going to win, who's going to win by how many points, all those type of things. And people have been doing that for thousands of years, pretty much, whether it's boxing or whatever type of horse racing or... So it's pretty much people are banking on probability that, okay, this thing will happen. But now the interesting thing, I think, with Web3 or with blockchain is that probability can be traded as an asset. Previously, you could just bet against the house, not against, and you cannot trade your probability halfway through.
Yes. That's the thing. Actually, the prediction market are different from betting that you can trade or buy and sell before the result of the things being disclosed.
Yeah.
So that's more like an options kind of
exactly market. Right. It's more like options. So pretty much options are the same thing. That is the probability of the price going up or down. But now it's not only limited to stocks, it is expanded to other things as well. But then it also gives an insight into the mood of the market. Like when you do look at the prediction markets and stuff, technically, what has been the most challenging part of building Predix?
Yeah, so actually up to now, so one thing interesting is that we really need to let people actually get used to this kind of like new market, educate. So actually interesting, we observe that like more US or Europe people, they have a good understanding of prediction market, probably because the electric or sports betting was previously has been legalized in the US country. After 2018, the New Jersey government have this kind of opinion, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So so nothing is more become common. But for Asia, because the presidential elections were not that actually direct access to normal people. So probably, they're saying like probably someone already actually elected like a previous before the election. So this feeling, so there's not too much like a involved feeling. So actually, they don't care too much about the election, I would say, rather than the Europe or this kind of Western countries. That's one thing. And second thing is that sports betting most likely is illegal still in some of the countries. So that actually makes the prediction market business was not like very common or like well known by normal people, because that's what evolved from the political betting as well as the sports betting. Yeah. So actually, I could say like one of the things is education, let people know this kind of format and let them to actually at least starting to trade on this prediction market. Yeah. But I feel there's a big kind of blank in Asia, because we see the traffic from prediction market manifold or all this kind of prediction market. Existing ones, most of them in the US or Europe. The Asia is really blank. So the thing is that there's a huge market potential opportunity out there.
Yes.
But they really need to actually make people understand what's going on. That's also how the experts kickstart. So we actually figure out the traditional prediction market, right? They're facing multiple problems, all the events defined by the platforms and then the lack of a recommendation engine. So we actually build out the top layers for prediction market so that they can very easily make a trade based on their personal interest. Yeah, so that is something we want to push forward.
Yes.
And then promotion layers. Yeah, so if you're promoting this event, if I create it from my community, if I promote it, I will have a huge amount of revenue shares with the person who events. So they have the motivation that people know. So we really need to actually factor in this kind of motivations, educations, and also the convenience layer to make the whole package really well formed instead of some product like Amazon 20 years ago, right? Like this kind of building. Yeah, so we really need to have this kind of new customer experience from the both AI automation product, Web3 incentive, and make it like a whole package and deliver to the end users.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm just thinking about prediction markets, and then like different types of betting has been very big in Asia. All throughout Asia in a very informal settings, especially when it's not allowed in a lot of different countries. It's like sports betting or like gambling is not allowed in like India with 1.4 billion people or so. So then that's why they go to, neighboring countries or go overseas as a tourism because that's not allowed. So that's why people are not aware. So I do think what you say is true. And also like financial markets, like people are, I don't know, they've had more experience to open financial market with options and sophisticated financial instruments in US compared to a lot of Asia where it's just getting introduced to these sort of things. So that might be another reason. So in an ideal world, how would the future versions of RedX would look like? What's your roadmap? What are the things you're planning to introduce?
Yeah. So actually, there are like two things in the core of the PredX we want to promote. Firstly, is actually the convenience. The second is actually the automations, you can call it smartness of the platforms, right? In terms of convenience, the first thing we want to do is that we want to integrate the mobile versions of the PredX market.
Yeah. 100%.
So React, it's like Telegram version. So that like people can really trade with the Telegrams, and they basically can put orders over there. And if they share this link to others, they will also earn some of the token incentives or some potential airdrop opportunities or just as simple some scores. So basically this will create we call the transmission channels or easy to infect more people using this kind of easy to use mobile product. Yeah. So that's the first thing. And then like when you at home or when working at a company, it's really hard to actually just expand the full prediction market on the screen, right? It's impossible. Yeah. Usually using the phone actually is a better way to actually stay alert with all this kind of events. Yeah. So that is first thing we want to promote. Yeah. So the second thing is really about how you can make the customer experience easy as you know possible. Yeah. So we think this kind of mobile versions, you can actually really trade with just a swipe, right? Like you're pretty much like a TikTok or Tinder experience, right? So just wants to actually make a trade. Yeah, so that is actually something we really want to make people feel that they are putting orders very easily and they really make a product for them. Yeah, so that is the just mobile versions, things we want to do next. And the second is actually in terms of the automations. Automation, that means that we really need to make this a market really intelligent, not only aware of what's happening over the world in terms of news level, and also we really want the system to understand the people who are using it pretty well. Yeah, so the automation in terms of capturing information, process information, and present information to the users. Yeah, so that's from different angles. In terms of process or capturing information, right? So we want the each community to give us some like the community interest, and we can use a generative AI engine, the large language model, to actually generate good topics based on users' needs, as well as the most popular like events that interest to this community.
Oh, that's a fantastic idea. Yeah, that makes so much sense.
Yeah, so actually the event could be trendy, but also right to the point, so relevance is important. Yeah, but it's not a large language model, we cannot do that. So that is actually how we actually make the AI, like, I mean, utilizing our platforms.
Yeah.
From the jump.
I have a question about the prediction markets. When you are outside of an industry, there's often things that you don't know or that you learn only after going and working in that industry for a while. Are there any such things that you learned that you didn't know before, but once you started working in Predix and this in the prediction markets, you learned about something new?
Yeah, so that's many of the things. For example, very beginning, actually, we saw like the prediction market can be actually, people can actually go through all these kind of events from the very beginning, find out what they want, and just like shopping. And then I'll figure out people only focus on the first page. all the other pages, they didn't really care. You can see like very good, this kind of exponential decay curve. Yeah, so the thing is that it's really based on the interest and recommendations that you give to the users, which means that you cannot expect the users to go through all the events. Yeah, so they like to see something, they will basically trade, and then later on they will forget like what's going on later on. Yeah. So the thing is that you really need to retain the users, actually something they really want to trade at the very beginning. Yeah, otherwise they may not put orders. The first thing. Second thing, actually the liquidity of the market is something like you need to really take care of. Yeah, because very beginning, many kind of like a market, they don't have good liquidity. We need to use an AI or market making bots to create this liquidity to the platforms so that the cold start problem will be like a mitigated or leveraged. Yeah, basically reduced. Otherwise, the market has a liquidity problem. Yeah.
Yes.
And third thing is that I feel that, many people actually, this is kind of like in the Web3 field, right? Like they are coming for the scores and the token incentive. Actually, they don't read very carefully about what they put. Yeah.
Yes.
So that is actually something we really need to target the right audience, just from channel perspective, from the target the right audience, so that they can really make orders out there.
Yeah.
This is another is something I feel that very, very important is actually how you can potentially make your platform smoothness and can defend all this type of attacks. So actually, we have DDoS attacks very soon. Very fast. And then we also have the other, like, someone trying to consume all our buying orders. They drain out all the orders, like pushing the market to the extreme, one direction. And they draw up all the like market orders, and then for the whole platform got stuck. So this thing, like, we didn't expect in the early stage, actually, just weeks after we launched. Yeah, so you prepare of the different situations. Yeah, see how we can actually do something better. But I think we are closer to our goal. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic. But I completely understand what you meant. Where's a good place to hide something is the page 3 of Google. Because no one is going to page 3 of Google. So just like that. So people are not going to look at the events which are on the next page or very further down. They'll only see the events on the first page and they'll just do things with that. Same thing is ask someone to name what's the 350th biggest coin. They don't know. They only know it's always the same, the power curve. So that's very true. And I feel like this sort of a product would be very popular with degens, I think. Am I right? Is that the case or...
Yes, indeed. So many kind of our clients are from the degen communities, and they can put very easily there. So actually, we basically feel that like they actually more into the game format of this. You are really right. Another thing that I also need to pay attention to is that like degen is really looking for a real profit, because right now we are in the testnet, so we owe the profit for potential airdrop opportunities.
Yes.
So in that, like, degen actually they're good, but they're more looking for the airdrop opportunities.
I know. They are just there for the moment, and then they're going to disappear once they get their airdrop.
Right. Yeah.
So they'll actually go to the next platform that's doing the airdrops, points and the airdrops.
They're very like a goal oriented, right? Like yeah. So this like how you design this to make them really understand what they do. So it's really about the design. Another thing is that you need to give them some like real rewards. What I feel that unless the platform really go alive, there probably is a lot of features still need to be tested later on. It's cannot be tested in the real world, the testing environment. You really need to put it fully alive. A lot of things can be really disclosed. Yeah. So we are trying to live really on the mainnet, which means that we'll receive the real token by the end of next month. So
yes.
That is the plan. Yeah.
So just thinking about, since you have had some experience, are there any insights or anything new that you found about DGENS that you didn't know previously?
Yeah, so I feel that like DGENS, they are really looking for something. It's a mini coin. Actually, it has been talked a lot inside of the close community. So previously, yes. I feel that DGENS, the different kind of like a stage in the bull market, right? The behavior of DGENS is very different. Yeah, when the market was cooled down and the bear market, right? The people actually doing airdrop. They go into different maps and the airdrops. But right now, DGENS are really rushing to the meme coins, which actually go rocket high in a short amount of time. And of course, very vocal in terms of broadcasting their, this kind of, I could say like this mission or like a propaganda, whatever. This kind of meme coins, right? Who actually very most vocal and actually the price go the most. Actually, I trend more DGENS. Now, so that is actually what I feel the DGENS behavior. So what we actually adapt to the behavior that build listing this kind of like the tokens events very fast so that they can trade on the event, but basically. So that is the events. You can really adapt to these events to the DGENS psychology. So that is actually the events that people want to trade more. Yeah. So basically, the DGENS behavior is actually always changing. So the platforms, the quests, and the events, actually listing out there, how you promoting this, also need to be changed accordingly. So this will be a bit challenging, but so we are building a platform, so we think we can adapt to all this kind of like various behavior of DGENS.
Yep. So that makes sense. What's one on the marketing and acquisition side? Have you faced any challenges and what efforts have been most successful for you?
Yeah. So actually right now we feel that like the KOL is very successful because our CMO was a very famous KOL and yes. She has more than 60,000 Twitter followers. And
fantastic.
She can actually many kind of KOLs with her same level with us or with middle cost. Yeah, so actually she really helped a lot in terms of promoting our product, the first thing. Secondly, that we actually we collaborated with more than 30 other projects. Actually, what we do is we are listing their events, project events, as events in our platform. So the people actually when they trade on our events, they will actually look into the project more. So that is basically, so advertisement platforms, people actually want to trade against each other. Yeah, so that is how we actually help the other projects to make their works actually more efficient from broadcasting what they're trying to do next. So that is actually another thing we do with collaborations with other projects. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that is actually bring us a lot of users, for example, give some numbers that like just only 3 weeks we online, we already have more than 5,000 people start using this.
Yes.
Daily active users is 2,000. Yeah, which actually people are very active in terms of return, looking at what's happening now. Yeah, so people like the products right now. And we actually try to promote next is our community. So for each kind of countries or different language, we based on different kind of events, right? So like India, the presidential selections, it differ from the US presidential elections. And again, probably different, like US probably different from football. India probably think it's too violent and then they have like your own like way of sponsoring. So actually, so we have different kind of events and then you want to make it like a platform to holding this kind of events and trade on something that people want to trade, but then nowhere else they can trade.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. And what's one of your, do you have a contrarian view to anything in crypto or what's your non-mainstream view that you differ from most people in crypto?
Yeah, so actually one thing is that it's a combination of AI plus Web3. So you know, a lot of product actually, for me, I'm an AI PhD.
Yes.
Actually, there's a lot of Web3 founders trying to do AI. And there's also one.
That's partly because of the hype and the money going there, the VC money going there. That's why they wanted to do that.
Yeah. So actually, the thing is that I feel most of the companies, for example, Web3 plus AI, they didn't run out some limitations of either Web3 or AI. Yeah, they actually want to combine these two, but at the end of the day, I don't think it's very effective. For example, I really believe that the most effective way to connecting GPU is basically you have a supercomputer center, right? So because if you only use a blockchain to transfer the data, that's really slow. Even so, we have the fastest high profile blockchain, but compared to the CBUS or this kind of like a kernel using the raw lens, the terabytes like per second transmission speed, right? Yeah, that is impossible. So I don't think there's a lot of like progress makes sense if they just use a Web3 to actually record some on-chain, but that's to connect the different GPUs. So personally, I feel that like Web3 is something describing the relation between people, right? People. And AI is actually how you automate things to make things can be done very fast and efficient.
Yeah.
So this the orthogonal. You cannot like use one to serving another thing, this one thing. So this tool actually should be used jointly to serve users' final objectives. For example, prediction marketing. So AI is actually how to recount events, generate events. And Web3 really help people to promote this event in the community. Right? So different kind of things actually focus on different problems. And you, as a founder of sort of like a company, you need to piece together all these kind of small building blocks to make it a building that serves a final purpose. Instead of like a saying this block is actually made for another block. Another block is made for this block. Actually, it's not that one. It's not, I don't think it's something like, it's the correct way to explore the connection between these two. It's not like a Web3 for AI or AI for Web3. Yeah, I think most of the company right now in the field is trying to do this. I feel that it should be something like AI plus Web3, seriously, like to serve a final objectives. So that is actually what I take different from use of.
Yeah, that's interesting. There's very few places where I have seen there is meaningful integration of AI and in Web3 or where it's to solve real problems. One of that place is that with AI, there is going to be more, it's around the space of identity because now you can replicate even video. You can replicate live video that I don't know if you remember just some time ago, someone was scammed in Singapore. Everyone in the phone call, like the Zoom call, was fake. And they got the person to transfer company funds somewhere, but having on-chain identity. I don't know if anyone's done it successfully. I know there's some founders doing it or trying to solve that problem, but I do think we're still a little while away from that. And so it would be that you'd have things on chain to make it more secure. Critically, that's what the theory is. But I feel like at the moment, Web3 space is a lot more unsecure than the regular Web2 space. Real experience of people. It's like you haven't been long enough in blockchain and Web3 if you haven't been scammed at least once in your life and you haven't lost some funds.
Yeah, in US, actually, the good thing is that you can do the chargeback. So if someone actually steal some money from your credit card, actually you can claim with the bank. So the bank will basically revert the transaction or pay for it somehow. So they have this kind of responsibilities like between.
That's in the Web2 world.
The banks. And that actually reduces fraud and potentially actually can keep a lot of things away. But Web3, everything is like a transactional and might be something like you really need to take care of yourself. Yeah.
Self-custody. That's what comes with self-custody, the good and the bad. But for most people, it is the bad side that outweighs the good when it comes to self-custody. Anyway, that's a separate topic. But like because you have so much knowledge about AI as well, and I did see that you did do PhD, is it from Houston? Computer science? Yeah. And I was just wondering, where do you see this AI hype? As I'm sure like Nvidia is one of the most valued company in the world right now by market cap, and not only Nvidia but every semiconductor stock has shot up in the world and everything with AI has shot up in the world. So it's like how long do you think this will continue, or is this the new norm?
Well, I see. So I could feel that this kind of like hypes have been there for a while. Actually, I feel that I believe I experienced like three hypes in the past. The first one is when the deep learning was coming out during around 2013, 14, something like the ImageNet, right? So during that time was one. And then it was the AlphaGo, right? The AlphaGo that really the beat two and the Go players.
Yes.
And then this is the third one. Yeah. So actually every time there's some like a search of the AI and stocks, but the thing is that like this time probably different because this first time B2C.
Yeah.
So you know, there are a lot of people who actually at least can, most or actually can pay, but can't be just aware of what's going on with the stocks. But I totally think that it may not actually lasting very, very long because seeing that first, there are two perspectives. Firstly, AI actually is still not that cheap. So which means that like end of the day, actually you really need to decide is that like a good ROI, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So that actually, when this thing started until people noticed that it is not, usually there's about 2 years, this kind of period. Yeah. So missing about 2 years, like people need to observing some failures of the company who can, that they can do a lot of big things. Yeah. So that actually, the things actually put something like around the end of the goal. So basically the capital will feel that it's not that sexy. So instead of pouring into the money, they're actually trying to hold back, right? So that's a, like 1 or 2 years to prove that some hype is actually just a hype, is, you know, to prove that's a fake. Yeah. So secondly, that I feel that there probably is a time that people noted that the AI might have some borders or the AI may give us so many advantages, but people's needs are actually out there. So you cannot create some new kind of like demand, right? So people just have this kind of need. And then if we have really new AI, sometimes they were actually touching the boundary of human need, just like of smartphones, right? You see the previously we talked about the smartphones and we have the mobile economy, right? But recently people are not taking, I mean, talk about it anymore, at least that's aware. Yeah. So the growth of the mobile phones and the mobile economy just being hit up the limit, and see the Facebook number of users every month is actually not that like highly growth, so probably declining sometimes. And we have TikTok there, but like the, we don't see so many good applications year by year, decade years ago. Yeah. So for AI, there might be a kind of like a point. I feel that like they were saturated, but I feel that so this time it may take a little bit longer than previously. Yeah. Because this time it's really the language model actually plays a more important role. Yeah. So I feel that the hype is cooled down somehow, but yeah, the stock will still increase probably until the market coming back, basically the market, right? So that's still like another very good shape. When the economy fully recovers, somehow like people feel that there's time to actually really think about the next big thing. Like
yes. People get bored. They go to the next.
Yeah, exactly. That probably will happen. Like this thing can cool down, but they're hard to predict. Online last because this time is different, a little bit different from previous.
Yeah.
You see some real usage of this and that Yuri is as good supporting to make it a little bit longer. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like I use and I saw even 6-7 months ago going to, you would know ETH global events, right? Like where all the ETH developers come together. And I was in an auditorium. There's all these developers. This was 8-9 months ago. Not a single developer was searching Google to search for things. Everyone just used ChatGPT. I use the voice search of ChatGPT instead of Siri all the time on my phone compared to Siri. It's so much more powerful than Siri. It's incredible. I am getting done 3 times more work than I used to because I do so many things. I do podcasting and I do like angel investing and I advise startups as a consultant and I do lots of different things and work with funds. I couldn't have done all these things 2 years ago. And I didn't used to do all these things 2 years ago. I can only do this because of AI. So I have been a paid user since it started, like with OpenAI or since ChatGPT became big a year ago. And even if they increased the price 5 times, I'd still be paying. Not twice, 5 times, like 5x, I'd still be paying. So it's crazy. And I'm not even using machine learning. It's like with machine learning, people are able to do, I feel like they're able to do for my friends who are building their own models and stuff, that they are able to learn so much faster. It's even for Marvel or for Pixar to have that, how hair act when there is air, just human hair. It took them years to work that out. And now with machine learning, it's able to do that. This is what I've heard. I don't work in that field, but it's able to do that in just training, in just few weeks or if that of training data. So we don't know how it exactly works, but then there are sometimes it doesn't exactly behave as you want it. But I'm just wondering if I can teach everything that I do and build my own models. And I am playing around with that and get it to do a lot of my work for me. And I do believe that what Tamar was saying, that now it is possible for a one person to build like 100 million or even bigger company just by having one person and getting AI to do most of the other things.
I totally believe that in the future, that day will come. Yeah, so because you're already observing some like less than 10 people like a mid-journey, right? They actually done so much good things. Yeah, yes. So I think in the future, there will be someone actually to start a lot of things. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So a little bit in that, Mr. GPT. Yeah, I do actually also use GPT every day. Speak to them and generate a lot of design, like a DALL-E, use a lot, like mid-journey.
Yeah.
Or marketing, they like it. Yeah.
Exactly. You would be using for that. But try the voice. It's amazing. While you're driving the car and you think of something, you can just have a conversation. And that is, it is so good. It is so natural. The voice, it's much better than the text. The voice, and it replies as a person. And it was amazing. It's where, like me and my 10-year-old son, yesterday, we were just thinking of a topic and I asked ChatGPT. And then we thought it's finished. It stopped talking, but it was still listening. So me and my son, they were conversing and he was saying, oh, but why would they do this? This is so silly or something. And then it started giving the explanation why they would do this. So the third person. So we were having a conversation as if it's a 3-person group about something. And we didn't even realize. And they were like, oh, wow, this is amazing. This is so powerful. This is like way better than chat. Sorry, the typing experience that ChatGPT has, which is already quite good, not bad, but this was another level, like having a third human in the room. First time I got that feeling that I haven't gotten. But that's why I feel like it can be person better than a person can be a person. In some cases, it's already getting there. That's why we will need the identity on chain at some stage in not that distant future. And that might be one use case. But yeah, it would be very interesting. And that's why the leaderboards and stuff, so that the leaderboards are on chain. I think it makes sense for prediction market because a lot of the predictions could be made by feeding data, by doing regression analysis of where the trend is going. And AI is doing the predictions and AI might be better than a human at doing predictions. I don't know. Just by using data, that it'd be good to have humans on the leaderboard on chain and stuff. I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud.
Makes sense. Yeah, totally makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they aggregate like information like from different kind of like 1,000 years or like actually 100 like this kind of data points, some of the data points. They look into all these kind of like tickers, right?
And
or stuff together, right? Like a one shot, they actually worth human to take like several hours. Like in theoretically speaking, they can actually use the speed to cover a lot of like limitations of the information level. But let's see. Yeah, I feel that there will be a arm race in the future about AI and how we can potentially like win the race not against other computer but against other people's AI agents.
Yes, exactly. Right.
That's right. That will be probably a more interesting topic to think about.
Yeah, and I've been building AI agents for a while, just for myself, just for personal use. I'm not selling them or anything, but I do see that there will be a huge market for that. So So it is very cool, very interesting. But before we go, I have my final question, and that is, what is your ask? Is there anything you're looking for? Are you looking at raising next round? Are you looking at hiring, looking for KOLs, anything? Feel free to share with the community.
That'd be great. So we indeed looking for fundraising. It's actually doing the seed thing, and we actually valuation is around like 40 million. We are trying to raise 2 million. We have some VCs and foundation on board, but we also looking for paid investors. So if you guys are interested in our business and maybe you can actually invest or lead, that would be really appreciated. Yeah, that is
fantastic.
Second is the co-marketing opportunity. So if you look for like big ecosystems or like a big communities or projects that you think that the prediction market can benefit from you, but that will help you to increase your community engagement level, or how to vote in on some of the things you want to push forward in the community, or you think that the market can simply help you to actually run a better betting market or website. And just let me know. So we will definitely see how we can help. We have a great AI PhDs in our team. We have 7 full-time engineers. Yeah, we have more than 13 part-time people, including engineers, developers, just marketing people, BDs. Yeah, we have a great team, which can actually pushing a lot of things forward from different angles. So please don't hesitate to contact me if you have any need from the prediction market, AI power prediction markets. Yeah.
Yeah, I have a question about that. Sorry, I did say it was my last question, but then just when you were saying that, I thought of that. First of all, I'll put all these links underneath so people can reach out to you. People can pretty much your whole link tree that I already have. So people can reach out to you and check out your product. But can anyone create their own event? So if they have an idea around their product or their company, that maybe how long their company will last or how much money their company will make, and then they share it out with their own audience? Can they do something like that?
Totally. Yeah. Really, our platform, they enable everyone to create their own events. Yeah. So
And then share out easily on media. People can predict. So it's like a poll in a way, but with some consequence attached to it.
Yeah. You can think like that. Like basically, like a follow up, like people to fill out that. So the thing is that right now, we actually, to make this applied based. So anyone want to become the event creator, we can fill out some forms and apply for that, because we don't want to, our beginning people attack us again by posting so many different events, like swap the platforms. But at the end of the day, actually, we were going to have this kind of staking as our threshold. So basically, if you stake, let's say, $200 our platform token, you can create an event. So basically, we want to have this kind of enter threshold, or enter I could say more on people allowed to attest, right? So as you are looking at creating something, you stand alone with us, right? The holding of tokens you can create. That actually will pass a lot of people actually just want to broadcasting anything randomly. And so that is something we want to promote. But from the company perspective, we really want to have as much as people to post in the event as possible.
Oh, that's fantastic. So it makes so much sense for cross promotion, and you'll have a lot more organic growth. So that is a fantastic idea. And if any other founders are listening, you should learn from this and look at co-promoting opportunities and co-marketing opportunities using this sort of a thing. And that's what I like about Web3, that people often collaborate. Companies are a lot more collaborative with other companies. Very hard to see this in other traditional industries, that two people in the same industry are collaborating at the same level and at the same speed. So yeah, but anyway, Reina, I would love to thank you. Thank you so much for your time. Generally, I do try and limit it for 30 to 40 minutes, but it was very interesting conversation, and I kept on getting more and more things I wanted to talk with you about. So
it's
fantastic. Thank you so much, and best of luck for building your startup.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. And all the best to all the listeners and co-founders. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening or watching this episode of the Web3 with Sam Kamani podcast. By now, you know the drill. Leave a comment or share this episode with a friend and leave a review. I would love to hear from you. So that's why my DMs are open. Reach out to me, especially if you are a founder building a product in Web3. Then I would love to hear from you. What are your challenges? Is there anything that I can help you or my community can help you with? Thank you once again, and wish you best of luck in building your startup or your project.